report on the demand for shelter services and the number of beds available countywide for those without shelter.
And I'd like to apologize to the listeners for the deplorable quality of this. In fact, it's so bad that I'm going to have to review it while I'm playing other tapes because it's just, it's almost not broadcastable. What I am going to do is read again the press release that Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom issued after the meeting, describing one perspective as to what happened in the meeting. And I'm going to read some of the comments that Attorney Kate Wells would have made had she had a chance to continue her speech. And we're going to discuss other things, hopefully hearing from you out there at 427-3772. Actually, we're here, you're there. Give us a call at 427-3772. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spear's Broadsides, and I'm Bathrop Spear Robert Norris. The press release read as follows. Council ignores emergency winter shelter issues but schedules camping ban hearings in February. Limited human rights declaration heartens some activists. First extensive sleeping ban council debate keeps sleeping and blankets crimes but calls for warnings and complaint-driven process. In spite of campaign promises to dump laws criminalizing poor people covering up with blankets and sleeping outside, City Council's new majority under the tight whip of incoming Mayor Catherine Byers recessed until January 12th with the sleeping and blanket ban sections of MC 6.36 untouched and $162 crimes in freezing weather. Ignoring a room full of speakers who unanimously urged action that night to overturn the bans, the Byers-led majority refused to initiate an urgency action, declined to call special sessions, and voted down Vice Mayor Keith Sugar's attempts to tighten up directions to the police. Sugar's proposed no stops or tickets for blankets or sleeping without a health and safety concern was dumped at the insistence of Councilmember Rotkin, City Attorney Barasoni, and Mayor Byers. Instead, Byers retained most of the original wording of her six-point issues on homelessness memo, which ultimately became 8 points, drawn up after consultations with merchants to which homeless advocates and homeless people were not invited. Byers sharply limited public testimony, 2 minutes per speaker, declined to incorporate any of it into her 6 points, and ignored the council-endorsed shelter emergency figures from Homeless Services Center Director Karen Gillette, Shelter Project Director Paul Brindell, and Community Action Board worker Sandy Brown. These three verified that without immediate action, hundreds would be illegal and unsheltered in freezing wet weather that very night, and tonight, and the night after tonight, and every night, through January 12th and beyond. The council also ignored pleas from Beach Area Working Group, Peace and Freedom Party, Santa Cruz Action Network, Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom activists, including Susan Martinez, Rachel O'Malley, Mike Smith, Skip Spitzer, Linda LeMaster, and Becky Johnson. Sugar's proposed emergency repeal of the sleeping and blanket bans at the January 12th session was opposed by Tim Fitzmaurice and Mayor Byers, as well as the hardline conservatives Rotkin, Hernandez, and Matthews. Chris Crown introduced a statement of principle stating that sleeping and covering up with blankets are basic human rights and basic human needs. It was passed after Byers stripped covering up with blankets from the resolution. Homeless people testified to unredressed human rights abuses involving vehicle seizures, unpayable fines, and police bush-beating expeditions. The Byers-led majority spurned pleas for an amnesty for past tickets and a moratorium for current tickets until the council reached a decision on the camping ban in February. Instead, Byers insisted on point number 5, which offered warnings rather than citations whenever reasonable and practicable, and emphasizing responses to complaints. Activists dismissed the proposal as a weakened regurgitation of what the police and city attorney say is already current policy, and hence, no improvement. Activists request that ticketing or move-on orders be made the lowest priority, and not be done unless there were a legal place to send the criminal sleeper, were not even discussed. Dozens of people shared soup, compliments of Master Chef Joe Schultz, carried signs, made speeches, and looked forward to the next protest against the sleeping ban and police abuse to be held at the town clock, 4 p.m. Saturday, December 12th. The 12-8 turnout, the December 8th turnout, was the largest by and for the homeless community at City Hall in several years. In spite of the council's failure to provide either shelter or decriminalization for the winter, some homeless advocates were upbeat, seeing a new direction in the council debate. They pointed to Crone's weakened human rights resolution, that is to say the fact that there was one at all, that said that sleeping is a human right and a human need, the prospects of further debate on Sugar's decriminalization measures on January 12th. Sugar tried to have a real law change put on the ballot in an emergency session, and he was turned down by Byers and others on the council. But there are indications he may bring it up again on the 12th, particularly if people call in, by the way. Don't forget that telephone. It's now as important as ever. And the promise of a full debate around the camping ban for the first time in 20 years in late February, which is, again, something that Byers seems fairly firm on. Others hoped for early meetings of the Crone Sugar Byers subcommittee to take homeless input and deter police harassment of sleepers and blanket users for the winter, given the council's new direction. I've been reading to you the Huff press release about the December 8th City Council meeting around Item 31, the issues on homelessness. As I said, apparently the City Council was, Byers was unwilling to put a change on the ballot around the sleeping ban and the blanket ban, or to institute new strong protections for the homeless during the winter, or to, more, perhaps even most important, and something that many of us have not been talking about, open up new shelter areas, open up areas where people can get in and out of the cold during this period of time when there are less than 200 spaces for more than 500 to 1,500 homeless people. She declined to do all this, but I guess I have to also give you the other side. The other side is, I think Byers has a genuine commitment and really wants to end this issue, but she's got a very rigid sense of the process she has to go through. And apparently that involves going to merchants, and that involves going to residents, and it even involves such things as going to people in closed meetings or meetings to which homeless advocates are not invited. Not only was this done last week, before she even put the agenda item on the agenda, but apparently it's being planned in the next few weeks, where intensive meetings are planned with different groups. But the intention here seems to be, and I am not entirely, I can't say this without any doubt, because Byers worries me, but the intention seems to be to persuade the public. You cannot arrest people for covering up with blankets. You cannot arrest people for sleeping. And indeed, perhaps, I'm not sure if they're going to carry it to this extent, you have to allow people, to some extent, areas where they can safely sleep and camp, if you will, where camping means surviving outdoors because there's no indoor shelter available. But really more important than what these folks say they're intending to do, or even may very well be intending to do, these council members who have the majority now and could have done the voting already, but haven't, is what we do to make them do what they have to do for the benefit of the community. The only reason there was any item on the agenda at all was because activists like you out there, you who put through those phone calls to 429-3550, the Santa Cruz City Council member, made those calls. And I've got to tell you, those calls have got to be made again. They got to be made tonight. 429-3550. And then push the pound key. And when you do that tonight, when you call 429-3550 and push the pound key, what you want to say is, you want to say you want an early special session of the City Council in order to open up shelter and decriminalize sleep now. That you can't wait till January 12th, that people cannot survive on best wishes and expectations for action in February, which is when the camping ban hearings are scheduled for. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Dan Hopkins.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. Are you in town?
Yes, I'm in Santa Cruz, right. Uh-huh.
So you can hear the radio show.
Not where I'm at right now.
Oh.
I'm at a payphone.
Oh, but were you able to hear it before? Or?
No, actually, I was actually called your house, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I was referred over to you.
Oh, right. Very good.
Yeah,
Dan, we should tell people, for those who don't know, and probably you're, you know, too famous for many of us to even just, you know, even mention this background, but you're a man who, you've been a juggler, you've been a man in the corporate world, you've lived outside for a number of years, and you also were involved in trying to end the sleeping ban and the blanket bans through 7.5 months of peaceful protest in front of City Hall in 1996.
Right. And it's a good thing you just mentioned that, because that's basically somewhat why I'm calling you. You know, when you said the blanket band, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just happened to go to the library, and I was listening to the city council tape of last meeting on Tuesday. And I heard Councilman Rutkin speaking on that.
Oh, boy.
And the reason I was calling, because he lied right on the tape. And it's just, you know, just really bold, you know, because it says, he said, oh, well, you know, because he's talking about the sleeping ban, trying to justify it and all this. And he says, well, you know, years ago, they used to take their blankets and everything. And then he says, but for years now, that hasn't been happening. We have a rule against that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just about fell over when I heard that, you know, because just recently, you know, we were in the protest, what, a year and a half or two ago? They were taking all of our blankets, and we never recovered our blankets or sleeping bags, you know, for most of us anyway. And the ones that did come back, nobody knew who they belonged to, you know. And I was calling about that. And also, on a separate issue, I was walking downtown just now, and, you know, like during the protest, it's actually kind of connected. During the protest, they took all our signs. You know, we couldn't have a sign because they have a sign ordinance if you have it over 14 inches.
Right.
Well, anyway, make a long story short, right now, on the mall, right at this moment, the hat company has a sign out in front of their shop on the sidewalk, close to the sidewalk, close to the street. And it's like about, you know, about 2 feet wide by about 4 feet high. And then right next to it is the Santa Cruz Horse Company, you know, the ones that ride the horses up and down the mall and during Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
They have one that's like about 4 feet high and about 3 feet wide, you know, which they're not getting busted for it. But if it was a homeless person holding a sign, he would get busted. And like you already know that John and Leslie got thrown to the ground by a police officer for having a sign more than 14 inches, you know.
I remember Scott Kennedy tore a sign off the post, and Mike Rutkin hauled away a display which had his name on it because he didn't like what was going on out there.
Right. And so if you're a business person, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, if you're a homeless person just holding up a protest trying to get some equal rights and some humanity from people, you know, then they throw you down to the ground, arrest you, take you to jail, and all that sort of thing, you know. Anyway, basically, that's what I was calling, you know.
Well, those are good points, Dan. I was going to ask you, I know that this protest, you put a lot of energy into that in 1996, and then you spent many months in court only to have Judge Kelly tell you that it was okay for the police to arrest people at night because somehow people should be able to sleep during the day. Remember that?
Right, exactly.
You know, but here we are, you know, a year after that, after the Kelly court decision in the August of 1997, now we're in December of 1998,
right.
And people are telling homeless people that, I talked to one of the council members tonight, and he told me, well, and maybe we can have some real shelter discussions next year. What do you think? Is that enough time for people to, should we wait for next year for them to open up a building?
Like anybody that's listening, you know, any person that's listening right now to free radio, all they have to do is step outside the door or even just open up their window and stand next to their window in their house, you know, and realize that those temperatures are really cold out there right now. The other night it was 32 degrees, you know, and there's people out there, you know, and then when the rain comes, it's just like horrible, you know, and I have the experience of knowing that, you know. I know what it feels like to be out there and no place to go, and maybe you got a tarp if you're lucky. And most homeless people don't even have a tarp, you know.
Are you sleeping out now, Dan? Or?
No, I'm not.
Well, no. Have you had much contact with people? As I've been walking down the streets, and I've been sort of hanging out in front of New Leaf Market because I'm trying to occasionally table there to encourage people to do some protesting downtown, because I think only by protesting in public places during a shopping season is the council really going to get the message. But you've been out there too. When I was talking to people in front of New Leaf, I've been noticing, I have not been hearing of many recent camping tickets or sleeping tickets in December. Have you heard of any?
I haven't. Just lately, because I've been out of town, but I did check the courtroom every time I come to town. You know, I go check the courtroom to see if there's any downstairs or upstairs, you know, for sleeping tickets.
Right.
And it may be just that that the homes are probably you know, well hidden right now, because they've gotten basically chased away from the downtown area, you know, mm-hmm. and the surrounding areas close by. They get harassed so badly, you know, that I think that's probably what's happening. And which means probably the same thing's going to happen over again if they don't do something quick, you know, is people are going to lose their lives for being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or they're going to freeze to death, you know, or their sleeping bag's going to get wet and they're going to crawl into it and die of hypothermia, you know, or something like that, which has happened already in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm just having high hopes that the city council is really trying, I think, you know, at least four members are trying to try to do something about this sleeping ban, you know.
I've been pretty hard on them in this broadcast, and I will continue to be.
Uh-huh.
And I'm, you know, I'm not prepared yet to say that I can, you know, kind of, I can't quite come over to that position, but I do believe that there are some good intentions underneath that, but good intentions are not enough. You need to have action,
mm-hmm.
and that is really my concern. But if the police are really cooperating, and I am not yet in any way convinced that they are,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to get a sense. Have you heard of any tickets in December for blankets or sleeping or camping?
Not yet, but I will keep my ears open, and I will call you back when I find out. I'll be getting around here pretty, you know, in the next few days.
Have you heard of any warnings or harassment? I have heard of instances of harassment, though not of tickets.
I haven't heard of any yet.
That's good.
The only thing, you know, that I see is, you know, that they're still harassing people downtown on the mall here, you know, for, like, sitting down on the sidewalk or something, you know, or leaning up against a telephone or something like that, you know.
Right. I know that there is a case coming to trial in early January of a man in the metro who just stopped, a police officer, as he was walking by, said, "Keep walking," apparently when the cop was harassing someone else. And this man just stopped and said, "No, I'm not going to keep walking." And he was then busted and taken to jail. And he's challenging that in jail with the, or in court with the help of attorney Tony Boal, who really has had some success.
Good.
Defending homeless people, and I want to commend him publicly for that.
Yeah.
There's been a suggestion, Dan, I want to get your opinion on it. The Crone Sugar Buyers Subcommittee, which is supposed to eventually kind of start holding public hearings on camping and sleeping. I talked to Chris Crone this afternoon. He said he would be very much interested in starting that committee going next week. Which really can please me. I didn't think they were going to jump into it so quickly, but they need to, of course, because, you know, we don't have really, we have virtually nothing given to us of substance at that last council meeting. Not much of substance, anyway. But he suggested that this, you know, we might be able to have some advocates at that meeting, which could be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and start setting up a system whereby there will be a phone number that people could call if they were harassed by the police in any way,
mm-hmm.
around, you know, sleeping or camping or just trying to keep warm. And we could start keeping a record of what goes on. What do you think of that idea?
That sounds real good, yeah. Yeah, that sounds real good. And just out of curiosity, do you have any ideas of whose telephone you would use? Or?
Well, I would hope that something like the homeless service center, Karen Gillette's homeless service center, which has a sort of a phone bank set up, I believe it is by Paul Brindell of the Shelter Project.
Uh-huh.
A lot of homeless people have voicemails.
But who would be receiving those messages?
Well, we have some volunteers.
Roxana
Kistapache and Sandy Brown and a Peace and Freedom Party man named Bernard have all agreed to help and actually you yourself, if you wanted to come to this meeting, and anyone listening, all you folks out there who are concerned about these issues, hopefully could take a role in this, because I think we are going to have our hands full in really pressing and overcoming the lies and the myths and the fears that have been spread and mongered by people like Mike Rodkin,
mm-hmm.
who is just, as you know, endlessly devious and endlessly determined, it seems, to keep this crazy sleeping ban in place.
Right, right.
And it's just amazing.
Was telling them, yeah, he told them in the council meeting that he didn't think they had a chance, you know, to get a 5-2 vote or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was another way that he did suggest that if they went this other direction, that they don't have to get 4 votes.
Right. The normal process of passing laws is you only need a majority, 4 votes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to pass what's called an urgency ordinance that goes into effect immediately, you need a 5th vote.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's I think the point is made. If the law is passed with four votes, it just means that in theory it has to be delayed a month. But if the council passed a law making it legal for people to sleep at night with four votes,
right.
The cops would not keep enforcing the old law. That would be a form of stupidity on their part that I think that even they are above that, but could be wrong.
Well, one of the things I did want to suggest, you know,
yeah.
is, I mean, not suggest, but I offer, is I do have an answering service that, I mean, a voicemail
uh-huh.
that can hold up to 50 messages, you know?
Well, maybe we could use your voicemail as a temporary voicemail.
Yeah, you could do that.
That people could call if they have complaints.
But I don't know if that's good for you, you know. A voicemail, they wouldn't have nobody to explain things to, and a lot of people, and I only have a 2 minutes, so it's only a 2-minute message.
Well, we can give out your number and other people's numbers
yeah,
as
right,
well.
Right. So you have to tell them that mine's only a 2-minute message, and then it stops them, you know? But they could leave maybe some information on how I could meet them, their name or something, or where I could see them, or where you could see them, whatever.
Sure.
Because I'm working full-time now, so...
What kind of work are you doing, Dan?
I'm working with this company that sends spices and flowers all over the country. It's a craft thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
where they send different types of flowers and dried fruits and stuff for craft stores and things all over the United States. You know, I'm working there. It's a temporary job, but they may hire me permanently.
Oh.
And, but anyway...
Your phone number is?
Okay. It's 427
mm-hmm.
55
mm-hmm.
69. And it's a voicemail, 2-minute message.
So we're talking to Dan Hopkins. I call him Dragonstar Dan because you'd have to have, I don't know whether you're just plain stubborn or, you know, endlessly courageous for continuing to stay outside night after night, you know, in that 7.5-month-long City Hall Sleepers protest where many people may have spent more time in jail than you, but you certainly spent more time outside at that protest than anyone I know of.
Yeah, that's true.
And your number is 427-5569.
Right, it's a voicemail, 2-minute message.
And you just, if you have been harassed by people in the next week, if you want to phone in, or if you want to volunteer to give information about you think might be helpful in changing this sleeping ban law, or if you want to talk about police harassment generally that's happened, that you've been a witness to, give a call to Dan. And you can also give a call, of course, to the Huff line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and half the time there's someone there, and it's easy to remember, 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. But Dan is a man who has more experience on the streets than I do. If you want to talk to someone who's really a kindred soul in that regard, his number is 427-5569. And maybe, Dan, at some point, if we get this meeting set up, you can even give that message on your outgoing message and let people know
when
that's happening.
Yeah, yeah. And, okay, so I have to run down to a TV station right now.
I'll let you go.
Okay, all right, see ya.
Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh, bye, thanks.
And that was indeed Dan Hopkins. I guess he's off to Voices from the Village, which is community TV that's starting to focus apparently on homeless issues, as much of the community is, at least in terms of intellectual discussion. I mean, now I'm not out there giving away blankets. I'm not out there offering up my room. I live in a room for homeless people to sleep in. So, you know, where do I get off by criticizing city council members? Well, I guess I get off because I think that as a public policy, it's different than giving out private charity. And what we need is a new public policy. I mean, I think private charity is good, too, and I commend people who open up their homes or provide services for homeless people when they can. But it's such a big issue that it needs the resources of a city behind it, really. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't be generous, and I think you should, but, you know, you get into a position often where you run into what's called compassion fatigue, you know. Although, frankly, as I talk to people around the country and as I read, I find that really is a kind of more, it's also a mythology, that it's not that people are getting more selfish, it's that people are feeling powerless, and politicians are taking that position, and police are more powerful. You know, police agencies, bureaucracies grow in power, people feel more and more powerless, but when confronted with real issues about, as for example, in today's Sentinel, the question was asked, should the camping ban be ended? Not the sleeping ban, but the broader camping ban. You essentially had 3.5 people saying yes. 3 said definitely, and the fourth one said kinda. I mean, that's actually better than every other survey that I've heard, which is this sort of man-on-the-street survey. You see it in the Sentinel.
But even those surveys, which were held 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 13 years ago, 3 out of 4 said, yeah, end that law that makes it illegal to sleep. Because people fundamentally know that's both crazy, inhumane, and at some real level, it's outrageous. Really outrageous. And it says something about the corrupt nature of the political process and how it corrupts our community that we can allow that to go on with that kind of weather outside. I mean, it really justifies homeless people breaking into shops and sleeping there. You know, breaking into City Hall and sleeping there. You know, I mean, I don't mind saying that. If I were freezing outside and it was a life-threatening situation for me, as 80% of homeless people are in Santa Cruz, and police were harassing me and ticketing me for my vehicle, you know, or I had to worry about this sort of thing and I had no place to go, I would hope that I would have the courage to find a place. And unfortunately, most of us are so well domesticated and so timid, or perhaps memorialistically afraid of the kind of vicious consequences that can ensue for just doing what you need to do, they don't do that. But, you know, people have a right to live. It's just really, really as simple as that. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert, working with cruddy old tapes that aren't too good. I'd hope to be able to give you some of that dialogue from 2 nights ago at City Council, but I'm getting frustrated because I don't want to play you gobbledygook that's hard to hear. Vinny has some wonderful tapes, but unfortunately he missed a lot of the early oral communications debate. But if you're out there, Vinny, and you happen to be wandering by the studio with some of that oral communications debate, bring it on in. We can use it. In the meantime, let's hear from a woman whose voice is more beautiful than I could ever hope to match.
I had a training manual. Once I even read it. When it comes to people's parking, food not bombs, forget it. I'm a UC cop. 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 Oh, and the law means nothing to me. Every time they happen, as you see, makes it clear to me it's time for batting practice. I'm a UC cop. I'm a UC cop. Cause I'm a UC cop. I'm a UC cop. I'm a UC cop. And the law means nothing to me. Hippies from the 60s that we can't allow run free. I'm a UC cop. 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 And the law means nothing to me. Well, these women on the front lines, they get me all excited. The party's in the holding cell and
Denny, I'm a UC cop from her album Failure to Disperse. Keep playing those songs over and over again. I like them so much. Well, I've actually come up with a section of the oral communications, I should say the item 31 discussion that you can actually hear from one of the most eloquent speakers. This is Eleanor, a woman who was in a wheelchair. She was the first speaker. She was disabled and she was a very passionate speaker several weeks before when Sean Alimi memorial was held. She was a supporter of that man of the people, Sean, shit kicker Sean Alimi, I called him. He fed homeless people with Feed the People for 3 years. He started it. He kept it going. He stood up to the police. He was with our caller, Dan Hopkins, as co-founder of the City Hall Sleepers protest in 1996. He would have been with us tonight demanding the city council not just decriminalize sleeping in blankets, but damn well provide some warm places for people to go at night. A civilized community can do no less. Anyway, here's Eleanor speaking at City Council on Tuesday night.
My reason for speaking is to ask you to decriminalize homelessness tonight.
Yes.
Just because you don't have the answers and there isn't enough shelter space doesn't give you the right to make good people criminals. I ask you, is it not enough for one to be living on the outside with the elements, the rain, the cold? Is it not enough to have to live with that fact that there isn't a place for you to go to be inside, even though one may have worked their whole life, paid their taxes, voted, and still vote, or worse yet, fought for your country, only to find that when the worst happens, you've lost your home? The very people you voted for, the very government you support and pay taxes to, the people you went off to war and fought for, now make you a criminal. Why? Why is it that at a time when our federal government is reaching out to us and has appropriated millions of dollars for the municipalities to serve this problem, to help us, to solve this problem, to help us, our community leaders, each of you, choose to close your eyes to the answers and look to us, me, and say criminal? What? Is it fear? Is it inexperience? Do you only know how to uphold the laws that were made for the early settlers that were designed to protect property owner rights? When there wasn't a need for homeless rights because the settlers were all homeless? Times have changed. We now have a small portion of City Street that's homeless, and they need their rights protected too. Just as the property owner needs protection, the homeless need protection. The only difference here, and this is the sad part, is that the property owner laws are to protect people from the bad guys, and our homeless need protection from the so-called good guys, you, and the police. I ask you to please do it. Restore our civil rights. Decriminalize homelessness. Accept your duty to protect those citizens. Bear with me. I've been real patient. Just give me.
If you have it in writing, could you just pass it around to us? That would work really well. And I'm going to ask people because we're going to have to stick to the 2 minutes.
Gosh, you gave everybody so much time. This is live. This is people.
I want to hear from everyone tonight. So
okay.
Can you just pass out your card?
Okay. Final thing, and the rest I'll pass around to you, is that stop ticketing homeless people for the singular act of sleeping. Restore our civil rights. Decriminalize homelessness for Christmas.
Yeah. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Go ahead.
It's on?
Okay. You're very concerned about litigation, Senator Matthews, and the rest of you. City of Miami is pretty concerned about it, too. City of Miami and the American Civil Liberties Union signed a joint resolution in a nine-year lawsuit. They had to pay $600,000. They got ads on the internet to look up the homeless that were abused during that time. $900,000 they had to pay for lawyer fees. They got a landmark decision over there now. And I'd like you all to consider the fact that a lawsuit can happen to you too. I don't, for the life of me, understand why it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I'm very, very conscious of this. I sue people all the time. And always won. Okay? Do you feel you're immune? Very conscious of it. This man here said $500,000 they may have to spend on lawyer fees. City of Miami has spent $900,000. It took 9 years. Only to now have that they have to educate the police. They have the police now have to write down every encounter with the homeless. They set up safe zones. Safe zones didn't seem to work. It sort of put all homeless in one spot. City of New York under Governor Cuomo found a better deal there with spreading it around in houses around the community. Consider the litigation in your things that you're thinking about.
Thank you.
I will be getting a copy of that Miami decision too. I will get it.
Oh, my name is Robert Creek, and her husband, we're both homeless.
I just wanted to talk on the campaign down. It may be the only law that confuses immorality, but maybe the only law that.
And unfortunately, we're running into defective equipment again. It's only when we have the loud speakers that you can actually distinguish clearly what's being said. And I'm going to try to get a secondary tape of that, which, by the way, you can hear. If you want to hear this debate, which you missed, these tapes are available in the public library, and they will lend you tape recorders to hear them. You just go to the reference desk of the main library downtown across from City Hall. Say, I'd like to hear the city council meeting, and look for item 31, and you'll be able to hear all this. Hopefully, I will be able to get myself a new tape recorder and get some kind of decent tapes here. My apologies. What those two speakers are actually reading the same longer speech, which Catherine Byers was not allowing individual speakers to read because she was insisting everybody have a 2-minute period. I guess this was her way of letting everybody speak without, again, the form without the substance of some kind of democratic process. If she were really interested in hearing what people to say, she'd have to extend the period so people could actually finish what they were saying. But she wouldn't do that because it was a form of symbolism, just as the idea that they were considering any kind of shelter or any kind of change is all very symbolic. But symbols don't mean much when you're freezing your ass off outside. But that didn't seem to get through to the city council on December 8th. And frankly, it won't get through until we make it clear to them that the people who favor human rights aren't going away. Even if the city council would prefer to take its own sweet time doing anything about it. And I again encourage you to call in to 429-3550 pound key tonight and say, call a special session, call a special committee meeting immediately on the shelter crisis issue and on immediate decriminalization of sleeping and covering up with blankets. This is no time to wait until January 12th or February 31st or the 12th of never to do it. It's just not the time. We cannot wait on this issue. We cannot wait. And if you are yourself the victim of any kind of police action around the sleeping or camping bans, please, please give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And that's the phone line for HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Earlier, you heard me give out Dan Hopkins' number as well, and that's another number you can call, but let's for the moment focus on HUFF. Mainly because I'm having trouble finding his number. Actually, his number is 427-5569. If you want to talk to Dan Hopkins about homeless issues outside, you certainly can call him as well. 427-5569 or 423-HUFF if you've been having problems sleeping outside because you've been harassed by any police agency, or for that matter, any private agency, security guards and so forth. I've been asked by my producer to take note of the fact that in 5 minutes, at 7:30 today on December, I guess we're on the 12th. Are we on the 12th? No, we're on the 10th. Whoops. 12th is coming up. Today on the 10th, on Thursday evening, on Channel 71, there is a live call-in TV show. For those of you who are in a position to receive cable TV, can get, and that is Voices from the Village. And you don't actually have to get TV to call this show. You can call them up and join the discussion as you hear it. And the discussion is going to be probably about items and issues like the sleeping ban. The broad subject is the new council versus the old council, as I understand it, though it's not entirely clear to me, except that Dan Hopkins, the man we heard speaking, Dragonsard Dan, the kind of the champion of homeless people from several years ago, is off to that show. He is one of the guests. And I think he's going to be talking about sleeping outside and becoming criminal under the city council and why it's important that action be taken now, not next year. And that's, if you want to call in to that show, you can give a call to 425
425-4920. Again, 425-4920 is the live call-in number for Voices from the Village on Channel 71, the TV show, which is going on from 7:30 to 8:30 tonight. So give a call, 425-4920, 425-4920. And if you want to call us here in the studio, shift gears a bit, we're at Free Radio Santa Cruz, you can give us a call at 427-3772, 427-3772. If you want to join this discussion, issue your own thoughts, give us your own thoughts, let us know how you take this discussion, what it means. You know, I have here something I'm going to read. It's Departmental Order 11, and it apparently is part of a consent decree in Miami. This is something that was referred to by those two speakers who began the oral communications, or the item 31 discussion period at City Council. I always say oral communications because that's usually the only time people get to talk at City Council. This is one of those times when they're actually, for the first time, the sleeping ban kind of as an item appeared on the agenda, not as an item where the council was really listening to homeless people, at least not the mayor, and not the majority of the council, and not one where there was any action really contemplated on the agenda, but it was referred to, and so it actually kind of became a subject of discussion. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello. I was wondering, are you the same man, because your voice sounds really familiar, who came up to UC Santa Cruz and argued about the sleeping bag with Mike Rook and...
I am the one.
At Kresge Town Hall.
That's the one.
Yeah. I really like you. I hear you on the radio a lot, and you make a lot of sense. You do a lot of good things, a lot of community work. You're really involved. But I must admit that when you were up there with Mike Rockin, it just sounded like a lot of insulting and not much real issue. And a lot of people here worship Mike and see him as some kind of left-wing hero.
Yeah.
And you really... it was good. A lot of people started questioning him after that night, but they couldn't really agree with what you were saying because it seemed like you were just blindly, like, angry and attacking him and not really presenting any issues.
Uh-huh.
And they were confused. They didn't know whether you were wrong because you were just so angry and maybe you were just looking to fight, and or if Mike really wasn't living up to their expectations as the left-wing superhero.
Yes. No, I mean, that certainly is a problem when you're coming into a debate like that cold, and you see here are these two guys up there, and one guy's raging away and denouncing the other one as a liar and so forth, and the other one is sort of smoothly, you know, proceeding. Still there? Hello?
Looks like we lost you, caller. If you want to come back and continue, I'd be happy to do that, but I'll answer you on the air. I do appreciate your listening into this discussion. Yeah, Mike Rockin is a very difficult man to debate with because he is an excellent speaker, because he is very articulate and sophisticated, because he is very facile and very glib. He's really able to effectively zip from one point to another. One of my problems is I kind of get lost in my own arguments, but Mike is pretty good about that. He is able to effectively... It was described to me a couple nights ago by someone who listened to him speak at the Tuesday City Council meeting. He's able to tweak a point slightly so that it changes, and he's able to kind of effectively distort and divert what is being said. And I guess what I really would like to do at some point, I've been really hoping to do this for a couple years, particularly when he was the powerhouse and the mayor, and then the shadow mayor, when Celia Scott was mayor, he led the 5-2 majority on the city council. And he is to analyze exactly how he proceeds. And I want to defend myself, too, by saying that I've had many debates with Mike Rockin, and even before that debate up at Kresge last year where we talked about the sleeping ban. We had actually debates on Free Radio Santa Cruz around the sleeping ban. And the problem with debating with Mike is he is much quicker at giving out additional arguments than he can really be responded to easily. He's not as abusive a debater, let's say, as Scott Kennedy, who actually can take the mic away from you and has. He hasn't taken the mic away from me, but he's taken the mic away from other people. But the problem with Rockin is that he will raise a whole flood of issues that kind of divert. Like, if you bring up the fact that a common sense fact, like, well, isn't it crazy to arrest people for sleeping outside when there's no legal place for them to sleep? He will say, well, yeah, but everybody would come to Santa Cruz if you didn't do that. So you really got to do that. In other words, he kind of drains the moral force from what you're saying by kind of skipping to the next thing or skipping to a fear that people have. He doesn't really address the issue. Isn't it wrong to arrest people for sleeping outside? And the answer has to be yes, unless they're engaging in some criminal behavior. It can't be, oh, yeah, but there's good reasons for it because, you know, neighbors are worried or because everybody would come here if you didn't. It has to be, you have to deal with these issues one at a time seriously, something Rodkin really has never done. And those of us who oppose him, those of us who favor ending the sleeping ban and oppose, and the reason it is a personal thing to some extent is because Rodkin really was responsible for enforcing these laws against protesters in 1996 very harshly. He went to court to get an injunction and succeeded in making it criminal for one act of sleeping. He made it a six-month in jail fine, six-month in jail, $1,000 fine, if you did it in front of City Hall. This was his activity. I mean, a really outrageous activity. I mean, there's a whole sequence of incredible behavior and statements on the part of Rodkin. I've written a thing called Rodkin's Wretched Record with the Homeless, which really documents this in detail. And if you're still listening, caller, I don't know if you are, I'd be happy to send it to you or get it to you, or you can actually, you don't have to, you know, listen to an angry voice on the radio or, you know, in a debating forum, but you can actually consider the facts coolly, you know, in your own time. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, it's me again. Sorry I disconnected. Someone came to the door.
Oh, no problem.
I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying. I would be interested in seeing that form, and I'm definitely not pro. I'm open to the idea that Rodkin could be full of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I said, and you...